committee to take up item number 119-14, which is Alderman Albright and Crossley requesting discussion with the Inspection Services Department to explain the development of short and long-term plans to identify and correct building sidewalks, playgrounds, et cetera, that do not conform to the ADA standards. The discussion should include information on how improvements will be incorporated into the CIP or request of $75,000 into a comprehensive budget plan to correct these deficiencies. We thought we would be taking this discussion up just to wrap our heads around the scope of this with, we are going to find the commissioner of DPW, but meanwhile, one of the reasons we wanted to take this up now is because a number of aldermen from different wards, like Ward 3,
Ward 2?
And Ward 2, have found that some ongoing sidewalk work has been disruptive to residents. And so the questions have been boiling up. And I did have a conversation with Chief Administrative Officer Dory Zolesnik, who began to lay out a plan that the administration is working on for notification of residents. She had implied that she would be here tonight and or that John Lojek would be joining us to talk about that plan, which would involve not only ISD, but communications person in the executive. So I guess what I'll ask for, first of all, Commissioner, could you come up and join us and talk about currently how this work is planned for and accommodations that are made or not for residents while sidewalk work is ongoing as far as, you know, assuring safe travel and all that sort of thing.
Public Works probably maintains, repairs, replaces handicap ramps to the tune of 200 plus per year. And we do that on virtually every street we pave. That's part of our preparation when we're planning the street work, is looking at the handicap ramps. We're actually required, we use Chapter 90 money, state requirements, to redo the ramps, and of course with the current ADA regulations, and we do that. The ones where we pay for it in-house with override money, we don't always do that. Sometimes if we're just doing an overlay, we're not doing a lot of sidewalk and curb cut work. Sometimes, you know, the streets, we just did Cottage Street, which is so tough. We put handicap ramps where we could. They're not fully compliant. It's just impossible to hit the slopes. So we did the best we can. But to the extent possible, we look at beginning of the year, any time we're doing a street, we have a goal to try to do the handicap ramps and replace them. In addition, I have a number of crews that are working, doing sidewalk repairs, curbing work, other type of projects, a lot of beautification projects. And, you know, that crew takes on other responsibilities to also include handicap ramps throughout the city. And that's funded through CDBG money that we sit down with those folks early in the year, and they kind of explain how much money they have. We tell them where we're going to be working. We've been starting working in villages the last 2 years, so we target those villages for improvements. But other areas where they have handicap issues, they let us know, and we see if we can work that into our schedule to do some handicap ramp improvements there. So it's a combination of both. Wherever we're paving, we target those ramps. But we have a separate list that we work with the CDBG folks to fund additional works besides that. So that, again, I think this past year we were almost up to 300 by the time that we were done with last summer and so far in the spring. So we do quite a number of handicap ramps throughout the year. Now, the process in terms of accessibility throughout them, you know, that is very difficult to maintain. And quite frankly, we don't provide accessibility through all the ramps while we're doing it. We'll do it when we're in the villages because they're such a huge pedestrian component that we do try to put plywood down or make some allowances to have some accessibility through there. special occasions, we've been made aware of people with handicap issues that we've gone ahead and tried to make some accessibility allowances for them. But that's been by people called us made aware of it. So it's not typical. Typically, we go in and rip it all up, frame it. We do a number of weeks to get a full truckload of concrete. You have to have a number of them all ready to go. You can't just do one individually. So it does take a while to do, and it is fairly disruptive. I would say this year we had a special case because we have a lot of streets. The street works has really been increasing every year with the override money, and there were a number of streets that had a lot of intersections, and we were overwhelmed with the number of handicap ramps. So we best contracted a number of those out. And when we're doing ramps, and we only have a couple crews, it's more of a slow progress, only doing so much at a time, and it's not nearly as disruptive. Contractors, you know, what we saw this year, they just go up and down both sides of the street, do a massive dig out, and then frame it afterwards. That is truly disruptive. We acknowledge that. That wasn't actually by design. It was, we haven't contracted this work out completely, so we haven't been watching that. We don't have that in place how to do that, but we've certainly seen it this year, and I'll be talking with engineering, and we started those conversations, how do you prevent that in the future, or can we, if we control the contractor, would it make sense just to do one side of the street, so the other side always has accessibility, and then once one side of the street's done, then you go back the other. So I think that's something that's certainly feasible to do and maintain some accessibility through the neighborhood. I acknowledge it. You know, this year there was massive wholesale handicap dig-ups that there's no way to get through. So we can control it a little bit better, make it on one side, so there's always some accessibility. And again, if there's a special need we're aware of, we can try to do some allowances, say put plywood down or something to make that some improvements.
So can you, since Georgia Lazing is not here, and she very clearly suggested to me that the administration is working on a notification plan, are you aware of that?
Yes, we're looking at putting out a construction schedule that we do 2 o'clock Friday every week that talks about what the work is going on for the following week. To the best of our ability, it is weather dependent, but really looking at that, all of the construction stuff, all of the things that are road races, anything that might impact if we have noise waivers or night work that we know of in advance, to try to put those out in one spot, put it on the web, on the city's website. It's also going to be under the Public Works website. It's going to be Public Works, Parks and Rec, Police Department, anybody who is doing something to where the public's going to be impacted, try to be as comprehensive as we can. Road races, you certainly saw that with the road race the other weekend. Was kind of a 3-day road race, a lot of disruption, people weren't aware of the traffic impact. So
did that overlap with areas where sidewalk work was ongoing?
No, but it was still disruptive to the public. So anything that they'd be disruptive, whether it be sidewalk stuff or just again, night work, road closures, that type of thing. So we put all of that on one location. We're hoping to put out a weekly update. So again, I have to have it in by 2 o'clock Friday. Then I'm not sure where else the links are going to appear up on the website. I know Megan Marr, the communications officer, is looking into that. I'm not exactly sure how she does that. I know we're going to reach out to the TAB somehow to talk to them, but I don't know exactly where they're going.
Okay, I'll call them and I'll write first. So on the road races, you had great signs on Commonwealth Avenue. The problem was that all the north-south roads didn't have any signs, so they didn't know. And then the other half of it was the detours that you sent people on brought them back into the same mess in just another location. So that didn't work very well either. And so it was nice to have the sidewalks really fixed first, so from that some disruption across the whole city. You got finished with one group, and then you got another group all angry, and they all emailing.
You got to piss off the same people all the time.
No, it's true. Do you think that, I mean, what happened particularly with the sidewalks in, on Walnut Street, the kids had to get to school, and you did it in, just like the 2 weeks before school was over. So not only was it massive disruption, but kids couldn't get to school without, you know,
walking on the street.
Yeah, exactly. So, you think you have a system for that?
We do. In fact, typically, streets right around schools, we try to pay those after school ends up. We've got a number of them that we're holding on to right now, just waiting to pay them until school gets out. And quite frankly, we should have waited for those handicap ramps on Walnut Street. In the future, I would take those ramps while school's in session if it's in the vicinity of walking area from schools.
Just to follow up on that, you had said that maybe in the future you wouldn't need both sides of the street so they can still be accessible on one, but if you're walking on one side of Walnut, or if you're in a wheelchair on one side of Walnut, then that one side is not available because that's not always so helpful. I'm wondering, is it your goal? I was told by a resident who's lived there a while that in the past work was done sort of immediately, the paving, the curbing, sort of all in one thing so that there wasn't, you know, a lack of access for weeks at a time. Is that the goal, to get back to that, if that's accurate?
I'm not sure that's accurate. Typically, when we pave a road, again, since we've been doing a lot of the handicap ramp work in-house, we get started first opportunity in spring and just progress through the street. So they're not necessarily tied that closely to when the paving day is. When we're getting to the paving work, we mill off the top inch and a half, and then we usually allow 2 weeks before we do the paving because there's additional work that's required, whether it be more curbing work, more handicap ramp, all the manholes sometimes need to be rebuilt. We need typically a minimum of 2 weeks before we schedule that. So we don't really come in one right after the other. There's going to be a kind of 2 week delay in that. And the ramps themselves, ideally we get them done beforehand. Sometimes there are occasions where we do them afterwards and just try to meet the grain of the road that's paved. It's not ideal, but just when we're looking at the volume of the work, we can't do it all necessarily in an ideal fashion. But it's not going to be, you know, within days of each other, even in best case.
So to do handicap curbs, the sidewalk part in the future, what is the shortest time frame in terms of when that would have to be blocked off? Like, what's the shortest amount of time it would be inaccessible in a perfect world with the weather cooperating?
In a perfect world.
And then, of course, my follow-up question would be, is that our goal?
In a perfect world, it will probably take us a week to get enough ramps prepared so we can pour. Again, because we're not going to prep one and then bring in a truck to pour. They're going to need a number of them to do a truckload, and even that we can probably debate. So I would say best case is going to be a week.
So the best case a week would be the sidewalk would be impassable, and then you said something about plywood, or so what, in the future, what can we do to avoid anyone walking on Walnut? Besides the snow, in good weather.
We could put plywood down just kind of over top of where it's framed, but to do that on a routine basis, it's really not practical just because of the volume.
It's hard to say.
We've done it in village areas just to make those intersections passable on regular streets with volume.
I'm sorry, for clarification, when you said it's not safe, the sidewalk deconstructed is not safe. Did you mean to say that the sidewalk was temporarily plywood?
Well, I think there's plywood out there that, number one, is going to have, it's still going to have a hump that you have to go over, and it's going to get moved. I don't think you necessarily want to encourage people to even try and use it while it's under construction. I understand it's well-intentioned, but I think that you could be setting somebody up, you know, to have an answer. So, I mean, you go slower, and you'll get less work done. So there's no really easy answer, but I'd be careful about asking this flag would be put down. I just could see some accidents there, so. Especially outside of a city square, because people aren't going to be keeping an eye on it. Like, all that work that's being done on Webster Street right now. I mean, that's a long stretch. And I hate to see plywood at every one of those intersections, because no one's going to really be watching over it. And some of those things are slanted, and I hate to see somebody hurt trying to go over in a wheelchair if they did.
I think it's waiting until after school is out.
We're usually very good at that. Whenever any kind of a project comes up, there's always, somebody always mentions, at least when it comes to us, you know, about there's a school in that area, can you wait until, you know, until the summer before you go in there and do any kind of work. So usually we don't miss that.
Alderman Martin, are you?
Yeah, it just seems really unsafe that people walking up on that street for a commercial hour. So whatever, I'm not suggesting a solution, but whatever it would be.
Next, Alderman Cody.
Yeah, thank you. Communication is the key, I think, for this whole thing, which has been discussed. I've been involved with two of the incidents since the spring. One was the Passover weekend, where people had a party or had a gathering planned for one of the first night or second night of Passover. The contractor was coming out there to work on the street that day, had told them they couldn't make accommodations, they couldn't change it, but we managed to get a change. I spoke to the contractor like on Saturday morning. He wasn't used from upstate Vermont, so we had no idea what Jewish holidays were and such. And so he said, yeah, I didn't know, nobody told me. But he accommodated me, took care of that. So that came in from a very distraught neighbor. So then the other one was the same situation on Webster Street, where the person in a wheelchair was kind of upset that we were accommodating autos, and we talked about cars being able to pass by while he was in the undercarriage. But he's in a wheelchair, and he couldn't get out and about. So I understand exactly what Lenny's saying about the dangers of plywood and building temporary things and such like that, but communication, again, is the key here, where people, and I know Megan's addressing this in the mayor's office, some way go out to an advanced party and look at the situation and say, okay, who do we have to accommodate out here, and how long is the accommodation for? Because if a gentleman's in a wheelchair and can't get out, can't get about, can't get to his car, can't, whatever the situation may be, a week is too long. You know, we can get a car out in a couple hours, we should be able to get the wheelchair out. Now, for somebody to go in there, we have to build into contracts that we have to know and identify if people get actual carpenters out there to build these things, not just throw a sheet of plywood down, that would be very dangerous. But if they built some kind of a system, and once they get good at it, I don't think it would be a big problem going forward. But I think if we can't just not accommodate somebody just because, you know, hey, it's going to take a week or two, then, you know, who's going to bring the groceries, who's going to let you get out for your visit to the park or whatever. We have to accommodate those type of situations.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention something that Alderman Denver, in a conversation with Alderman Cody and Doris Lorzink is when she said a couple of things. One is that again, they're very aware of this problem, and there is going to be some kind of an effort coming from the executive with Megan being put in charge of advertising when the sidewalk work is upcoming. The question I would have related to that, and you can answer in as you go, not necessarily right now, is the week ahead, the Friday ahead of the week of work that you're planning, how could that possibly be enough time for the executive to be able to inform residents that sidewalk work, you know, that their sidewalks are going to be undone the following Monday? It's just, you know, a rhetorical question at this point.
If I could just add one quick thing on that. We've had very good luck with the phone calls, the robo calls, or whatever you call it. It's very easy to pinpoint specific areas that you want to reach out to, and you can make a call to tell them there'll be some work in that area. So that's one of the reasons they asked for an update by 2 o'clock on Friday, so that they've got a couple hours if they want to make phone calls to a select group that they can reach out to. So I know that's one way to get word out quickly, and I understand it's relatively simple to do that.
Yeah. I do want to mention the other thing that Doris said to the two of us is that the ADA coordinator, which is a vacant position at this point, is being advertised, and it's going to be a full-time position, so that if we're talking about, and we're joined by Alderman Cheryl Lappin from Wall Street, and Alderman Kalis as well from Wall Street, that I don't know when this position is going to be put in place, but clearly that would be key to some of what we're talking about tonight. Alderman Denver.
my point was that the ADA coordinator, when that person is named, although because of HIPAA regulations, we don't have a complete list of, and never would, of everybody that, who lives in what area and who's handicapped. But in the meantime, the two co-chairs, I think it's Rob Caruso and
Gerard,
yeah, they have a good handle on where a number of people live. And so that one might be helpful.
I will say, we had just started conversations with previous ADA coordinators, really hadn't had much dealing with them over the years. Just within the past year, I knew he was working on a master plan. We had talked about sharing road plans, that type of work, that they can plan that a little bit further in advance. So, admittedly, again, we hadn't done much in the past. We were really just kind of starting here this past year, and once the new person gets in, we'll try to get credit for the left on.
Yeah, I just had a quick question, actually, now that about the Commission on Disabilities. One of the complaints I've heard from the Commission on Disabilities was the money from, revenue from tickets for violating the handicap parking zones was, I think we originally set it up so that it would go to the committee, or a certain portion of it would go to the committee, and that it hasn't been going to them. And I think their concern is it had been set up that way so that, you know, since that commission deals with disabilities on access issues, that they would have a fund for, you know, targeting certain areas or certain particular access issues. I was hoping that John Lojek or Dory would be here to address this, but I don't know if you know anything about that or
not. I have no insight into that at all.
We could bring it up in a weekly call.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. I know it's been a long-standing issue for Gerard and Rob, and they've asked me about it now a couple of times.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know if this is possible or not, but when you advertise, how about something like the blocking of the sidewalks? Could you also say, can you help because of accessibility issues, call blah blah, and then somebody is appointed the task of finding volunteers to help. I mean, I know that's a big, big job, but when you think about people being, you know, stuck in their houses for a week, it might be worth putting some time into that idea.
Well, look at that. I will say one of the things that's on the weekly report I have is a contact person with a phone number so that there's somebody you can call, at least to start the conversation, to see if there's something coming on.
Your report goes to the administration, and then the administration, I think we understand the person of Megan, what I was told anyway, is going to be reaching out to whatever neighborhood is next up on the list. Is that sort of how it's going to work?
I really don't want to speak for Megan on how she's planning. I could talk to them about the information we're going to provide them, and I know they're going to publicize it, like say, on the web. I know they want to sometime be able to reach out on Fridays to folks, but I don't know exactly what their plans are.
Okay. I'm going to ask that. Maybe the next best thing, since we're not joined by a member of the executive, is to talk to the executive, if from the president and vice president, next have a conversation to find out what their plan is. But I thought we were going to, I had kind of had a very clear conversation with Dory about this item coming up, and therefore it's an opportunity to lay out what the administration's plan is. So if we can get some clarity on that, that would be great.
You can do that on a call.
We've assessed what we'd like to see there for assessing, but I'm not going to tell you that every one of those playgrounds has what we've asked for at this point. But we're working toward that. So anytime we have, you know, new construction on the playground, obviously we look at the accessibility piece as well. We've added some asphalt walkways around certain playgrounds and parks. Doesn't mean I'm not here to say tonight that we can get every park is not totally accessible. But they can, you know, we have parks where family members can, where handicapped can get the stands to watch games, get around tennis courts, perimeters of tennis courts. We have two play structures in the city that are universally accessible, which means that a handicapped individual can get to every piece of the play structure. That's over at Newton Center and at Horace Mann as well. That is not always the case, and you'll notice that the two places that I mentioned both have rubberized surfacing, so that allows better accessibility. If you use fiber, they say it's an accessible surface, but you're hard pressed to get, you know, wheelchairs through some of that. But so we are working toward it, and everywhere we go, every time we have a new construction, that's definitely in the forefront for us.
So what percentage would you say of the playgrounds are accessible?
Of the total playground?
Yeah.
You know, most playgrounds have some accessibility. I couldn't give you a specific percentage-wise of what they are. They're not totally where we want them to be at this point. You know, if you look at that open space, you'll see that we're asking for more as we get on the road. Like with CDBG, I'll give you a great example. Pellegrini was just done with CDBG money. That has now become very accessible through the back of the building. You can get to the picnic tables, you can get to the play structure, you can get around that whole area, you can get out on the field to an extent. So that's, you know, this curb cuts there, getting in off the sidewalk, that's been the key. So anytime we have that type of a renovation, we definitely want to make as much of that site as accessible as possible. Some places it's not, you can't do it. There are some athletic fields where it wouldn't be feasible for us to run, you know, an asphalt walkway through a field. It just can't happen. But the opportunities where we can do it, we will.
What's that? Thank you. Anybody else? I think what we're looking for in public facilities is to hold this item.
I'll move it.
Move it to town and sold. I'm in favor of hold. 5-0, 6-0. Thank you.
It's unanimous.
Just I want to ask questions. So it's a little bit clear. You want Carol and I to follow up on a portion of the fines going to the Commission on Disability, and also a follow up on where these plans would actually stand and the communication piece.
How are we advertising to residents and businesses when we're about to take up the sidewalks for a week or so?
Okay.
I mean, could you answer that? What can we do for people who are disabled that when you tie up their sidewalks for a week, what can we do for them?
Okay. Okay.
I'll have Shelton.
There should be something in the ordinance about there should be something in the ordinance about the ticket. And it should spell it out in the ordinance. If there's a certain percentage, it would be in the ordinance and they should be getting it.
So we'll agree upon that's not, we can change it.
Okay, but you should start by also checking to see what's in the ordinance. Okay. Before you show up.
Maybe discount on the abatement.
So folks, we're at the end of our meeting this evening. So I'm going to suggest that we adjourn. And...